The International Bridge, Tunnel and Turnpike Association is holding its 83rd annual meeting at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel. Now, my guest is Patrick Jones, Executive Director and Chief Executive of the International Bridge, Tunnel and Turnpike Association. Patrick, welcome to the Right Hook Studio.
Thank you, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what does the Bridge, Turnpike and Tunnel Association do?
We are an association for the owners and operators of toll facilities in 20 countries, and we basically provide a forum for sharing knowledge and ideas to promote and advance toll finance transportation.
All right. Now, therefore, you coming to Ireland must be quite a culture shock for you, because we're kind of quite anti-tolls.
Well, it's not so much a culture shock for me. First of all, my name is Patrick Dennis Jones, and I have Murphy in my bloodline, so okay. I'm happy to be here. But you do have quite a bit of tolling here, the M50 and some of your other motorways that have really, I think, revitalized Ireland in a way that's provided greater mobility.
But the Americans, Eisenhower signed an act in 1950-something, didn't he, to bring in the major road infrastructure in
Correct,
America.
The interstate highways.
Right. So before that, there weren't any highways. And then we had I-95 and I-55 and I-everything else. They're the three-lane, maybe even six-lane highways, depending. Of these thousands, tens of thousands of miles crisscrossing America, what percentage is tolled?
There are about 6,000 miles of tolled highways in the United States of America, which represents less than a percentage of all the paved roads in America. But they carry a significant portion of all of the traffic, and they represent, there's about 3,000 miles on the interstate highway system. So it isn't a huge percentage, but they carry a lot of traffic.
Now, you've got a turnpike around Boston, haven't you? What's it called? The Manhattan Turnpike, is it called, or something? Or
well, we have the Massachusetts Turnpike.
That's it. The Massachusetts Turnpike. Now, when I lived in that neck of the woods, the good folk of Massachusetts were always complaining that they had paid for the road 100 times over with their tolls, and why were they still continuing to pay the tolls? So what's the answer to that criticism?
You know, George, a road is never fully paid for. A road is like a house. Think about having a mortgage on your house. Maybe you've lived in the house for 20 or 30 years, the mortgage is paid off, but still you need to do upkeep and maintenance. Maybe you need a new roof. Maybe you need new electrical coming into the kitchen because you have all these appliances. You need to paint and maintain. So the costs of a road never disappear in the same way that the cost of a house never disappears, even when you pay off the mortgage.
But if it's such a brilliant idea, why, by your own evidence, are less than 1% of roads in America tolled? It would seem to indicate the other 99% can manage quite comfortably.
Well, first of all, we should say that the first superhighway in America was the Pennsylvania Turnpike that was built in the early 1940s. In fact, it opened in 1940. This year, the Pennsylvania Turnpike is celebrating its 75th anniversary. So that was really the first superhighway in America. You mentioned Eisenhower and the Interstate Highway Act signed in 1956. That provided a fuel tax to pay for the interstate highways in America. And with the advent of the fuel tax and the interstate highways, there was less of a need for states to raise their own money to pay for roads. But now we've got a situation in the states where the federal government isn't coming across with as much money, and states are much more interested in tolling than they've been before.
All right. Last time I flew to Chicago, and I pick up the car, and I'm straight onto a tolled road pretty well immediately.
Right.
And we're heading down to the wonderful academic institution of Notre Dame University in South Bend, Indiana. Now, the thing about the American tolls, and indeed most European tolls, is depending on where you get off, you pay the appropriate amount. So if you went 10 miles, you're going to pay less than if you went 20.
Correct.
Famously, I went from Rome to Florence, and it was tolled all the way. But I only paid when I eventually came off it. We don't do that. And I wonder what your opinion is. So the only time I have to pay if I'm going to Cork and there are two tolls is if I actually go to that very junction. If I come off at intermediate junctions, I don't pay. Surely that defeats the object of the exercise.
Well, most toll facilities that you see that are being developed around the world today are tolling on the basis of distance traveled. And so they're instituting more tolling points so that it's fairer to all the users. You're going to pay based on the distance that you travel. And I know that here in Ireland, on the M50, for instance, you only have one tolling point. But I think there are people are thinking about, we need to add some tolling.
Well, I want to come to that, right? Because one of the problems since whoever invented the internal combustion engine, since then, there are more and more of them. So there's a limited amount of road and there are more and more cars trying to use them. So therefore, what you're trying to do is manage. And the only way, by and large, you manage is by charging, isn't that so? If the road is free, everybody's just going to use it. We've got a study now, this M50 demand management thing.
Right.
Presumably you're a disciple of tolling to manage the number of vehicles on the road.
Well, there certainly are a couple of different uses for tolling. One is simply to build and maintain and operate the facility itself. But another one is to use pricing to manage the congestion. And the idea is that as congestion increases, as more and more people get on the road, you increase the toll so that fewer people will get on at that time. And then at other times of the day, when there's less congestion, you reduce the toll. And the idea is that you spread the traffic throughout the day, you make it more even, and you encourage people to drive at different times or perhaps to even use different modes.
But I don't know whether Singapore is a member of your association or not, but I mean, every square inch, I know it's a small country, but every square inch of road is essentially tolled, and you have your little electronic gadget in the car. Everybody has to have it, and presumably at the end of the month or whatever, you're getting a bill for every mile you've travelled. I mean, given the growth of motor vehicles and the limited amount of roads that we can have, isn't tolling just going to happen?
I think tolling will happen. And I think people will start to embrace tolling because they can see where the money is being spent. In the United States, for instance, the primary method of paying for roads is through the gas tax. But you never know if the gas tax is going to go into the roads that you use or somebody else's roads. But when you pay a toll, you can see how the money is being used.
Finally, are you going to see an increase in tolling in America? You're still only at 1%. I mean, I-95 now, you can go all the way from Canada to Florida. I mean, that's untolled, I think, pretty well the whole way.
Many parts of I-95 are tolled.
Oh, are
they? In fact, in Florida, in Maryland, in other parts of that corridor. But we will, to answer your question, we will see more tolling in the United States, and we will see more priced managed lanes to get greater throughput on this limited capacity.
So, to all the Irish people listening, tough luck, more tolls on the way.
Not tough luck. The idea is we want to move people and goods in a very efficient way. People are paying for what they're getting.
All right. Well, Patrick Dennis Jones Nee Murphy, Executive Director and Chief Executive of the International Bridge, Tunnel and Turnpike Association, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.